Charles Paisley Penny Arcade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki. What was that? That sound had, and I can't wait to hear that on the replay. See what that sounded like. I bumped into my microphone. I have to learn to just be petrified. Sit in my chair. Don't move. Don't move, Mo. How are ya? Today is Wednesday, the 10th of April, 2024, and it's Halloween. No, it's not. Not even close. You know, maybe my wife's right. Maybe I've just lost it completely. Yeah, then just maybe the other side of that is that I've always been lost it completely. He's been lost it completely. Oh, I feel a song coming on. A song I should sing. A song I should write. Won't that be just a tasty delight? So how are you? Are you good? I hope you're doing really wonderfully on this post-eclipse spectacular day. Yeah, that eclipse. Another one. Gee, the last one left such a lovely mark on the country, didn't it? Yep. And the world? Oh, well. Yeah, wasn't bad. I mean, it was, I did not partake. Those of you who read my PowerPeak column, my column, not my PowerPeak. It's Mark's PowerPeak. But then I think everybody knows that. And it's so nice of him to let me write in the PowerPeak. I've been writing for Mark. God, it's been a... But it's been about 13, 14 years now. Holy cannoli. 13, 14 years. And he still lets me do that. That's it. Because in the beginning it was like, Mo write column. Today, writing very, 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 very writing column today. You know, and it was horrible. But, you know, what the heck. He's such a nice guy. He lets me do that. But, yeah. I stayed inside. I let Trudy out once, went outside, and, you know, I didn't shrivel up and turn into a kumquat, which are very good, by the way, kumquats. Yeah, my dad, who was a professor of veterinary surgery and anatomy and things like that, he had a student that he tutored, helped, and he never charged a penny for that. He always said, if you want to be a vet, well, I'm going to help you. He was just that kind of guy, sweet guy. My God, he was cool. And so this guy came over all the time, and after, you know, and we'd sit around, became kind of part of the family, and he'd eat dinner with us, and then he and Dad would go into the kitchen, I guess, or whatever. There was a table, and they'd sit, and he'd help him with the stuff. And he graduated. He graduated as a vet with honors. And his dad owned a kumquat farm in southern Louisiana. And boy, did they bring us kumquats. And they were delicious. They were really good. They're tiny little oranges, tiny. You eat them, peel and all. Yeah, nice, nice people. Really wonderful people. And I think this young man who became a vet after my dad died, the vet school set up a scholarship, and this fella every year donates to that scholarship really large amounts of money for just all the wonderful things that my dad did. And you think to yourself, wow, you know, it's amazing how, pardon me. Oh, I didn't get to the kill button. I'm so sorry about that. Those of you who still have eardrums left, I do apologize. Oh my goodness. That was just allergy season. I was just outside with Trudy. You know, I feel better though. I feel better. I'm glad you can't see the microphone. Oh, wow. No, it's not. Egads. But when you do good things in life, it's a wonderful thing. And the echoes of that come back for generations to come. And that's just one example of the good things my father did in life. And you know, they echo in me because I saw the honesty he had and his willingness to help other people all the time. And it has certainly bounced back in me. Yeah, it's just really something. I believe in doing good. I saw in the news today this report that something like 84% of Americans believe in karma. And even though I'm going to just say that 84% of Americans don't have any idea what karma is, but that's fine. That's fine because they really believe that doing good is the right thing to do. Not that they always do it. They even admitted that. Some of them admitted that. But that it's, if you do good things will happen back to you. And then, of course, karma is much more complicated than that. But I love that they think that that's how it works and that's what it is. And that thrilled me to no end. To no end. I really had a good feeling about that. And that made me feel good. Because I thought, you know, if that's how people feel about it, let them feel that's exactly how they should. Doing good, being kind, is wonderful. I was in the grocery store just the other day, and I've got to tell you what. People are really, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that they're uptight or just a wee bit out of sorts. There's not a smile on a face. I smile. Maybe it's because I'm a simpleton. I don't know what it is. But people just, they kind of, oh my goodness. They just stare. It's that 1,000-mile stare or that 100-yard stare or that 22-and-a-half-foot stare or whatever, that Fred Astaire. I don't know what it is. But it's this look that is just, you know, and they just walk and they walk right through you. If you're not, you know, you have to be willing to jump out of the way, you know, because you better be ready to jump out of the way if you have to. Why, you know, why do you want to be like that? And these, I think it's a protection. Are people that depressed? Yes, people are that depressed, I guess. You know, the economy's better. I know someone out there's going, no, it ain't, Mo. Doggone it. The economy's terrible, Mo. What are you talking about, Mo? I'll bet I know who you're going to vote for, Mo. Boy, I tell you what, you know, don't, it's not about politics. It's not about, you know, things are weird. The world is weird. Very, very weird. Between you and me, the world is weird. Now, don't tell anyone it's weird, because that's between you and me. It's a big secret, okay? This is just a big secret. Don't tell anyone how weird it is. It's weird out there. People are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly when you're alone. Thank you, Jim Morrison. Truer words were never spake. And so, I don't know. Kindness. Kindness. As in Elliot Ness, who was not at all like Robert Stack in The Untouchables. When I was a kid, there was a show on called The Untouchables. And it was about Robert Stack. Well, it was about Elliot Ness. I met Robert Stack once. And that was really cool. It was really a surprise. There was Robert Stack. And I just said, Mr. Stack, wow. I grew up watching you with my dad, and wow, huge fan. And he just said, well, thank you, you know. And thank you for cleaning up Chicago, you know. Anyway. yeah, it was about Al Capone and Frank Nitti, and it was pretty cool. So that's inside Moe's mind, you know, out of Moe's mind, who knows, whatever. So the world is just in a very strange place right now. And some of it is not very pleasant. All you have to do is watch the news. Don't watch the news or watch the news. But there are wars going on and so on and so forth. So the eclipse happened. And on the same day of the eclipse, now, did you see this? Did you see this? Hephaestus, also known as Vulcan to the Romans, took up smoking. He must have. Because Mount Etna. Now, do you know where Mount Etna is? It's Mount Etna. Anyway, Mount Etna was reputed to be where Hephaestus, who was the blacksmith for Zeus, who made Zeus's lightning bolts. Remember, Hephaestus was a bit challenged in some ways, but he was brilliant. He was a genius. He was the blacksmith of the deities, of the gods, the ancient Olympian gods. And one of the things that Hephaestus had going for him was that he was really, really smart. This is a great story about Hephaestus. And he was supposedly very unpleasant to look at, what we used to call back in the days ugly. And I don't know that we can say the word ugly anymore. So it's possible that the PC police may say, Mo, you said the word ugly. And because you said the word ugly, we're going to have to take you off the air. But I think I can use the word ugly when it comes historically speaking, like ugly duckling and, you know, that sort of thing. And in Hephaestus, who was mythologically considered ugly. So the story is that Mars, or Aries, and Aphrodite, or Venus, were having an affair because Aphrodite had been wed to Hephaestus. It wasn't her idea, trust me. It was what Zeus did. But anyway, we'll just call him Zeus. Zeus said, you know, I'm going to really screw things up here. I'm going to marry Aphrodite to Hephaestus, the most beautiful goddess, the one that everybody wants. I'm going to marry her off to Hephaestus, who is the least attractive of all the gods, but he's also the smartest. So there's some sort of, actually I know exactly what that's about, but it takes a while to explain. Not that it's like, oh, look at me, Mr. Wise Guy. You could figure it out too. All you have to do is spend a little bit of time. Look at Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe. That's all you have to do. Think about Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe, okay? Just think about it for a while, and you go, oh, so that was, I got that, you know. That's all. Marilyn Monroe, I think, actually was very bright. Poor girl. She did not get an even break there. But anyway, so back to the story. So one of these days, you know, the word gets back to Hephaestus that his wife is in a delicate situation with Aries. A lot. They can't keep their hands off of each other. So he devises this net. Very, very fine. It's made out of gold. And you can't even see it. It's so fine. But it's there. And he takes this fine gold net. And he makes this trap for them in a bedroom. And because he finds out where they're hooking up, as the youngsters say today. And he takes this net and he sets it out. And so they are in the act. And whoop, this net catches them red-handed. That's a good way to put it, better than, you know, in flagrante. I guess that's probably fine, too. And so he, you know, sets off the alarms, and there's buzzers going off, and everyone goes, what's going on there? And he runs off to Zeus, and he says, come here, I want to show you something, boss. And he takes him back in, and he says, now there they are. I've caught them. See, my wife with that irritating Aries, you know. And everyone comes in, and they're all watching, and it's scandalous. But then everyone starts laughing. And it's like, what are you guys laughing at? He says, well, look at you, man. They're beautiful. They're beautiful and they're gorgeous, and look at you. You're so darned ugly. And I just, the first time I heard that story, I was really angry, you know? And I thought, that's the way it is. That's the way it is not being a jock in our society. And I'm just going to say that. I was not a jock. And I used to watch the jocks walk to, and I'm sorry if there are some jocks listening to this or saying, oh, that makes me mad, Mo. I wasn't like that. I knew some jocks who weren't always like that. But, you know, I had a couple of friends who were on the football team who were big, burly guys who actually were friends of mine but could not be friends of mine in certain situations. Okay? How'd I get this? Anyway, so... it's this remarkable stereotype, you know? It's this remarkable thing we have in our society, in our world about, it is not just our society. It seems to be kind of a worldwide thing and thousands of years old. So Hephaestus kind of goes, all right, I get it. I get it. So Mount Etna is where he did all this work. Well, anyway, so Monday, it's blowing because Mount Etna is kind of acting up. It's a volcano. And so, anyway, so it's blowing these gigantic smoke rings. Now, if you haven't seen it, get on one of those tubes, YouTube or, you know, Varsity Rag Tube or whatever it is. I don't have any idea. Varsity Rag's a song, by the way, you know. I think maybe I'll start that Varsity Rag Tube. I don't know why. Maybe I won't do it at all. But, and it shows it blowing these beautiful, perfect smoke rings into the atmosphere. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. You should do that. And think to yourself, this is nature. This is the power of nature doing something so spectacular. And it makes absolutely, and it's perfectly natural. There's nothing supernatural, but it's beautiful. It's weird. And those smoke rings are, I'm sure, quite deadly because the gases coming from a volcano are generally really bad, not good to inhale at all. But it's something that's like, wow. And I just had this image when I saw this on the news, you know. I just had this image of Hephaestus sitting down there smoking a big old cigar, or maybe a pipe. I used to smoke a pipe, you know, and just blowing these huge smoke rings, thinking, who's ugly now, baby? Who's ugly now, you know? And I really thought, good for you, man. Good for you. So, yeah, I mean, we've been through so many iterations as a species where we used to believe in many, many gods, you know, and they were kind of cool. Some of them were pretty cool. Some of them were scary as can be. Some of them were downright terrifying, you know. Some of the ones that people believe in today are kind of downright terrifying to me. I'm not going to name any names, you know, but some of them, and some of them are demigods. The ones who, some of them that want to rule countries, and some of them who are ruling countries. And you think to yourself, why are you like this? Why are you doing this to people? Innocent people. You know, and that's the problem. Is that every, 50, 60, 70 years, and even, it just doesn't seem to stop, does it? It just doesn't seem to stop. You know, people think that I'm weird, and take my word for it. People think I'm weird, but people think I'm weird and because I believe in elemental forces that maybe, we can get in contact with. And maybe, we can just kind of say to them, you know, would you nudge this a little bit? Could you smooth this down a little, tamp this one a little bit? Do you mind that? You know, what we sometimes maybe can call magic, maybe not. And maybe we can't. Maybe we don't have the ability to, but maybe we do. I don't know for sure. You know, and I don't work too hard at this stuff. Why should I? You know, who cares, really, in the long run? It's all about, See, I'm kind of at the point in my life where it's like, just kind of kick back and let life be what life is, which is gorgeous, beautiful. But not for everybody, it isn't. Life isn't perfect for everybody, is it? I'll bet right now all you have to do is think to yourself, who is life not good for? Who is life not happy for? And you can immediately get in your mind an image of someone that life is not tremendous for. And you think to yourself, well, that's not fair, because I've got a pretty good life. I know my life is multiplying. It's really blessed. Blessed. And I hope your life is blessed too. So why are there people who seem to be vindictively making other people's lives unblessed? What is that about? What is the purpose of that? What is going on there, you see? And I was thinking, you know, before this last eclipse, what's going on here in the world? The eclipse before that in 2017, I was a go-getter. I was a, you know, so then my kid brother, both my kid brothers live in Austin, Texas, and they've lived there for a while. So they had the last eclipse in 17 go right overhead, you know, right over them. And it's like, that's no fair. I mean, the one that happened in 17 was 98% over me. And it was cool. I had my eclipse glasses, and I saw them, and saw it, and it was really kind of far out. But 98%, I was amazed at how much sunlight comes out of 2% of the sun. And it gave me an immense amount of respect for nature and for the sun itself and for how powerful the sun is. It got, not dark, but it was dusky, you know, but it was not dark. And it's made me think ever since. Now, I will be fully honest with you. I would love to see a total eclipse of the sun. Next lifetime, you know, next lifetime. My brother said to me, I called him. We were talking. They were having a big party, you know, he and a group of his friends. And the eclipse hadn't gotten there yet. And he said, well, there's going to be one in Spain in a few years. Maybe we can go to that. I said, I can't do that. I can't afford anything like that. And he said, I'll take you. I think he can afford something like that. And I said, that's really sweet of you. But, you know, he hasn't read my article. You know, he knows I'm weird. He just doesn't know how weird I am. Because I've adopted kind of this thought of, wait a minute, we don't have to horn in on all of nature all the time. I'm not afraid of it. Not at all. I'm not afeared to go out and watch it. I just get this feeling from it. And I had a window that was kind of cracked open. The blinds were open and I could see how dark it was getting. And I thought, I don't like the feeling anymore. It just feels weird to me. Maybe that's just, I don't know what it is. When you get older, and you've been doing this as long as I've been doing this, I've been involved in a metaphysical bend most of my life. Maybe I've just become too sensitive to it. Or maybe some people who know me think I'm just kind of weird. I'm grabbing my notebook here. So, over the years, this is kind of an interesting notebook. Experimental stuff that I work on. And I'm opening it up to, hope I can read this. I asked the I Ching a question before the show last week. I asked the I Ching, what will the effects of the 4/8 solar eclipse be on the USA and personally? That's what I asked. And I told you what the hexagrams were, and I promised that I would talk about it today some. I've been thinking about it nonstop all week. I've been working with the I Ching quite a bit lately, last month or two or seven or 100, I don't know. And I did an I Ching reading just a little bit ago. I haven't fully analyzed it, but it blows me away how incredible it is. A little coffee here. Hang on. Decaf. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah, and this is how I'm acting on non-caffeine, no caffeine. And I mentioned that the hexagram that I tossed was the 50th hexagram, which is known as the ding, spelled T-I-N-G, in the way geos are the, I can't have an opinion, I don't know. It's in the Wilhelm Baines translation, Wilhelm book, the Baines translation. And that's my favorite. I have lots and lots of I Ching books, different translations, and I've decided that there really is only one truly good. Now, I can't say that. And it's not that it's good, but it is the most thorough. It is the least. If you want to get a good, honest, well, that's not a right word. But if you really are trying to get a solid understanding that you can then work with on your own, and that's a good way to put it, on your own, without having to deal with someone else's version of what it is, then you'll want the Wilhelm version of the I Ching, or the Book of Changes. Because it really does kind of, other people say, do this, do that, but that's not what you get in the Wilhelm Baines. He gives you a very thorough kind of understanding of what it says, and then he kind of expands on it. So it's not like, I don't know how to explain it. So if you have I Ching books and you don't have this one, you can read the entire text online. So you don't have to invest in it yet. Do you see what I'm saying? And give it a shot. But it's the I Ching or Book of Changes, the Wilhelm Baines version, okay? It's put out, it's the Bullingen series, number 19, okay? Princeton Press. Just something to think about. With Carl Gustav Jung, who did Carl Jung did the foreword. Now that's nothing to sneeze at, right? So I've got the book right here. This thing is beat up. My goodness. Yeah, I borrowed copies. I was talking to a friend of mine. Really good friend of mine. And he said, did I ever borrow your copy? I said, buddy, you've got a bad memory. I said, I borrowed your copy and for years and years and years, off and on, because I didn't buy a copy till I was 33. And he said, really? I said, yeah, I was always broke. And perennially, you know, that's just me, my karma, my belief system. I know you're all saying, oh, but Mo, you have a terrible belief system. Yeah, don't I know it. But the ding, the cauldron. So let's talk about this. What did the I Ching tell me? So I had the cauldron with the fourth and sixth moving lines. Now, for those of you who don't know what the I Ching is, it is perhaps the oldest continuous form of divination known to humanity. Stop the presses. That's the way it is. It's been around for, and this is not an exaggeration, 5,000 years. And that's not kidding. 5,000 years. It's Chinese. It's remarkable. And it's made up modernly of what are known as hexagrams. That means six lines. They can either be a yin line, which means it's broken in the middle, right? So it's not a straight line. It's a line that has a gap in the middle. Or it can be a yang line or yang. And that's just a straight line. And there, these things are built on, these lines are one on top of the other until you have six of them. And these can be broken up into what are called trigrams, which are three lines. There are eight trigrams, and the eight trigrams have personalities. They're a family, a mother, a father, and three sons and three daughters. And it gets beautifully, beautifully rich after that. And the three sons and the three daughters and the mother and the father are forces of nature, and they're elements. Yes, they are. And they're not exactly our elements. They're metal, and they're fire, and they're water, and they're wood. But they're beautiful. And earth. Yeah. And so they're incredible, and it's deep, and it's functional, and it's as accurate as anything I've ever used. As a matter of fact, it will never, ever steer you wrong if you work with it and take the time to understand how to use the I Ching. So, for example, you can ask yes or no questions, but you have to be prepared to do a lot of thinking. Working with the I Ching is like working with a very hard and complex crossword puzzle that has no real answer. In other words, there's not just one answer. It can be multiple answers, okay? Because it really forces you to think. And it's beautiful in the way that it does so. And there are many different ways to approach the I Ching. It's actually Yi Qing, I guess, but I don't speak Chinese. I can speak Arabic some, but not Chinese. So those of you who wish to, cringe at my Chinese pronunciation, I invite you to do so. Okay. But my Egyptian Arabic is actually very good. So I was told that not so long ago by a man in a store. He said, "Your Arabic is too good not to have being from somewhere," or something, whatever he said. So, yes, with a little pride, I will say that. So the word ding, spelled T-I-N-G, pronounced ding, the 50th hexagram, my question was, as I said, what will the effects of the solar eclipse on the 8th be? Now, the reason I'm asking about this is because my thought on eclipses is that they generally, these total eclipses, especially the ones that are over continents, because there are a lot of them that are over incontinents. That's a little joke. It's a little eclipse joke. Eclipses like this happen relatively often. Usually about, once every 18 months or so. And that has to do with the north node, Rahu, and, the south node, Ketu. That just is how things work. But most often, they're kind of not seen. Or they can be seen, but they're seen mainly by scientists who go there to see them, like Antarctica or the North Pole or the middle of the ocean. It's not something that people can flock to and get on a plane and go see and pay $1,500 to fly to see, in the air. And, rich people do. So the point is the one in 17, I feel, had a lifespan of about 5 to 6 years, maybe even close to 7. This one, I think, is going to have about, right around the same. Now, I'm not sure about that, but so I wanted to know, what's the effect going to be? Based on the fact that I'm very curious, because right now, things to me don't feel wonderful. Now, I'm just being realistic. Ukraine. What a mess. Putin. Gaza. Unbelievable carnage going on there. Innocent people. And the thing is, both sides have got these poor innocent people in a vice. And they're being destroyed. They're being slaughtered, unfortunately. Things like that upset me a great deal. Sudan, there's a war. The Sudanese people, I've known many Sudanese people in my life. My dad used to, he was a foreign student advisor at Colorado State. And without exception, all the Sudanese people I met were beautiful people, very nice people, very, so it just baffles me. And most of the people I met were very nice people from other countries. We would have weddings at my house. We had a Kenyan wedding in my house. It was really cool. Oh, that was fun. We would have people from all over the world in my house. And it was a lovely experience to have all these people come and visit and cook. But my mom would just hate that because they would leave her kitchen a mess. And my mom was meticulous. But I was exposed to people from many different countries. And I learned at an early age that people are just people. And yeah, they would talk politics and there would be screaming and yelling. And it was really kind of something. But in the end, everyone was fine. So I asked, what would the world be? So it, fascinatingly enough, I got the ding. Now, what is a ding? It's a religious ritual cauldron used to feed people as a group to bring them together. Far out, right? Which kind of blew me away. I thought, oh, I've got the ding. You know, it's like bringing all these people together. It was done sometimes when you were going to make peace, when you were going to sign treaties, when there was something really big happening, if there was a wedding. You know, it was a big deal. The prince would have people come in. The emperor would have people come in. You know, you would have something happening. You would bring in, you would cook all this wonderful food and transfer it to the ding. It's metal. Now, there are a thing called, you know, the beauty of the I Ching is its intricacy and its amazing richness. So here is this thing, and it looks like a ding. I know that doesn't make sense. But first of all, the two trigrams are two sisters, right? On the bottom, we have wood, and on the bottom, we have fire. Oh, I love that. Think of that. See that in your mind. There's fire below and wood above. So not only do we have it, what it does is it shows there's two legs. And actually, a ding has three legs. But if you're looking at it, you know, from the side, you see two legs. And then there's the body because so there's a broken line, which is two legs. And then there's solid, four solids. And then there's a broken line, which represents the opening of it. Right? So you can put the food in and take it out. And then there's a solid line, which is the lid. Genius. Absolutely genius. Right? And it's like, oh God, these people, there's something so brilliant and lovely about this. And these things are made out of metal. So the nuclear hexagram, and don't worry about understanding that, but every I Ching hexagram has what's called a nuclear hexagram, and blah, blah, blah. There are only 16 of them. All the 64 hexagrams are made out of these. Two trigrams that both are metal. So it's like, of course, it would have to be. I mean, it just is, because the whole thing is made out of metal. So you're saying, wow, here's this ding, and it's filled with food, and it's made out of metal, and that's far out, you know? Yeah, I'm old, far out. So I love that. And I'm thinking, wow, very special, very special. But we have these moving lines. Now, there's also this thing about the I Ching that has to do with when the lines, you know, lines are in a certain place. And if they correspond to other lines in the other trigram, a yin line wants to go with another, with a yang line on the upper trigram if it's in the same place. So, for example, the first line and the fourth line want to correspond. A yin line goes with a yang line. So, in this case, that's what it is. But I had the fourth line moving. Okay? So, let me read you about the yin, about the ding, before we get into the moving lines. I have to pass this off here to make this work right. Okay. Well, it says cauldron, supreme good fortune, success. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? That really sounds pretty nifty. And that's the judgment. And it says, while the well relates to the social foundation of our life, and this foundation is likened to the water that serves to nourish growing wood, The present hexagram, that's the well, that's another one. There are only two man-made objects in the entire I Ching, and the well is one, and this is the other. Here it is the wood that serves as nourishment for the flame, the spirit. All that is visible must grow beyond itself, extend into the realm of the invisible. Therefore, it receives its true consecration and clarity and takes firm root in the cosmic order. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? This is Wilhelm. I love him. He really does give some things here. You know, here we see civilization as it reaches its culmination in religion. The Ding serves in offering sacrifice to God. The highest earthly values must be sacrificed to the divine. Wow. That's think about that. During an eclipse, this is what, you know, this is saying what the eclipse was about. But the truly divine does not manifest itself apart from man. The supreme revelation of God appears in prophets and holy men, does it? I say it is in nature. That's what I say. To venerate them is true veneration of God. And I say, not necessarily. To venerate nature is to venerate God. The will of God, as revealed through them, should be accepted in humility. This brings inner enlightenment and true understanding of the world and leads to great good fortune and success. So this is saying that this is what's happening here. And I'm thinking, yay. So we're looking at this. And So let's look here. We have the fourth line. The fourth line is changing. It's going to move. And it says, line in the fourth place moving says, The legs of the Ding are broken. The prince's meal is spilled, and his person is soiled. Misfortune. And I think, oh man, that's a drag. Okay. And it says here, a man has a difficult and responsible task to which he is not adequate. Moreover, he does not devote himself to it with all his strength and goes about with inferior people. Therefore, the execution of the work fails. In this way, he also incurs personal opprobrium. Confucius says of this line, weak character coupled with honored place, meager knowledge and large plans, limited powers and heavy responsibility will seldom escape disaster. What does that sound familiar, boy, about? So right then and there, I'm thinking about current events, right? I'm thinking about what could that have to do with? Now, I don't think that's a prediction. I think that's kind of where things have been. I'm thinking that that's kind of setting us up for something. So, I think what we're talking about is that maybe we're looking at what people are worried about. A lot of people are really worried about the elections coming up. There are people, I've got an old college buddy who is as politically on the opposite end of the spectrum as could be. He and I don't see eye to eye about anything at all. And in fact, matter of fact, during the last administration, he unfriended me because I refused to give in to his point of view. I didn't unfriend him. He unfriended me. But suddenly I've started getting his feed again, and I decided not to silence it because I wanted to see what's going on that end of the spectrum. And quite frankly, it stuns me. I'm a liberal. I'll just say that. He's not. And what they believe is flabbergasting me. Because as liberal as I am, and my beliefs are as firm as they are just the opposite. And I realize I don't get it, just as he doesn't get what I believe. And it's just that weird, you see. So what we do now, so keep that in mind. that the I Ching is saying, someone, now what he would do is he would look at this and he would say, well, obviously this I Ching is talking about the current president. That's what he would say. And I'm saying, no, it isn't. It's talking about the guy that was in before. That's what I would say. That's how this works. You have to figure out, and I know who it's talking about. And it may not be talking about a president at all, but I think it is. So what you do is then you change the line to the next, you know, and then you go to the one, the hexagram that it turns into. Well, I'm not going to do all this and on the air because I've already done all this. And I'm just going to tell you what it says, is that the transitions that this goes through, and I've done all this before, is that it says that this eclipse is going to kind of highlight these problems and show the mistakes that have been made in the past and amplify them to a certain extent in order for them to be brought to the forefront, and not just in this country, but all over the world, so that the people who are self-centered, the people who are trying to, who are taking on too much and don't have the ability to really do things that are for people, so to speak, are going to not necessarily win out. They're going to be shown for who and what they are. Now, that will out. We'll just have to wait and see how it comes out, how it works out. That's what the I Ching is saying. So I could be all washed up. I may not know what I'm talking about, but I think I've got a pretty good idea what this is about. It's about us, you and me, humanity. This is what the I Ching is saying, not me. I'm just reading it right out of the book. To work on what has been spoiled, the 18th hexagram is the change. Takes us right to the 18th hexagram. Work on what has been spoiled. Okay? And that's pretty fitting because a lot has been spoiled. This world of ours. I was on CA's show yesterday and I mentioned the oceans. Look at the plastics in the oceans. Did you know that most fish in the oceans now have plastics in them? Now, what sort of lousy thing is that? And the bottoms of the oceans are now covered with plastics? You know, what have we done? What have we done? But that's humanity, you see. We, no wonder Hephaestus is blowing smoke rings out of Etna. I know he's not really, okay? I'm not crazy. Yet. Maybe I am yet. But the point is that we have to respect nature. We have to respect our planet. And that means being aware that there are people who don't respect our planet. There are people who don't, and we have to start working on what has been spoiled. And that's that next hexagram. It's saying, okay, we have to really start thinking about taking care of what is important here, you know. We have to start taking care of what is vital for us. Now, the nuclear hexagram of the day is called push breaking through. Breaking through something, having a breakthrough, making it. But in doing so, there has to be a sense of having to really go through some times. We have to really go through some times. It's not going to be easy. If we're going to be realistic about things, it's not just going to, you know, we can't have Samantha Stevens from Bewitched wiggle her nose and everything is suddenly ding-a-ling-a-ling, you know, 100%. That's not how the world works. We have to be realistic about things. And you and I have to be a part of the change. This is where I'm going to say, if you vote, good for you. And if you're planning on voting in November, God bless you. But if you're not going to vote, why not? There are people, I've heard people say, I'm just not voting. I'm not voting. I know someone who says, I'm not going to vote. I say, please vote. Please vote. For goodness sake, please. because I think it's very impotent. Potent. Oh, Freudian. So what do you really mean? No. It's very important to vote because every vote, it's very important. Every vote counts. But more than that, it's an energetic thing. It's saying, I believe in the ability to change the future, to change the energy of something from one thing to another. I don't care who you vote for. Vote for whomever you want, but vote for change. If you're completely happy with the way the world is, and you're not going to vote, then don't vote. But make a decision. This is about getting out there and doing something. We all have to do something. I maintain that you and I are like lights, that there is a light within every single one of us. You know that old song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I know. I've never been that fond of it. But the idea behind it, there is a sound principle there that we have this ability to pass on something. When I'm in the store and someone gives me the 1,000-yard stare, I smile at them and they glare at me. And every now and then, someone will smile back. And it may crack their face a little, but sometimes it changes them. And why do I do it? Because I refuse to sit back in a world where it's that depressed and that and, you know, I just refuse. Because there is something about us. We are different. See? So we have to work on what has been spoiled. We have to work on what is decayed. That's the 18th hexagram. Cool. And it's up to us to be part of the process. And then we had the 6th hexagram, or the 6th line, the owl, the 6th line of that one that also changes. And it basically says, okay, if you're not going to get involved in the affairs of people anymore, then you must be involved somehow in what's going to better mankind. And maybe that's a personal one for me. I don't know. I'm no longer as involved in the world of people as I used to be. I've kind of withdrawn a little bit, to be honest with you. And it's been something I've been asking myself, is this something that is right for me? And frankly, I'm not sure. But the I Ching said, how's this affecting me personally? We all need to, I believe, on a personal level, push ourselves to help everybody. And I've got some ideas of what I want to do and what I'm going to do.
To try and do something, you know? Try and push forward in one way or another.
Just unbelievable. I don't know what I said, but it's ridiculous.
So I'll just keep going. But I really am believing that what it's saying is that we need to all find ourselves working for the betterment of humanity, and not just in the world, but for the world. So that's what I think this eclipse is about. It's about awareness. It's about an awareness of what's important for us as individuals. That's what I believe. But more so, not as individuals alone, but as individuals as a group. I have no idea what Siri just did. It took everything I just told you and turned it into something. So who knows? Maybe this is going to be a movement that you'll see.
I have no idea. I don't know how that happened. Who knows? I'll let you know if I figure it out. So there it is. That's what the I Ching said. That we need to stop thinking about the little point. Maybe that's what it is about. Stop thinking about the personal and start thinking about the big, you know? I like that. I like that a lot. There it is. This eclipse that I didn't watch is about beginning to think about humanity and beginning to think about each other and pushing for all of us. There it is. Okay? I hope that helps. It helps me. So that is today's show, because I'm out of time. And I'm sure my AI friend, God almighty, where are we headed? All right, I'm confused. So until next week, I wish you all peace and love, and I'll talk to you next week, okay? Take care. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July. Yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism, and this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is underwater right now. And of course,